This is Your Family Matters with Carla DeDessi here at 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty. Remember that all of our interviews and segments are podcasted up at 1180WFYL.com. In case you missed Fridays previously, or in case you missed a little bit of our amazing interview today. So I'm very excited to have Lori Zarishnak with us. Yay, I said that right. She is here with us, and she is going to share with us about a very exciting ministry called Timbali Women, right? That's
Timbali
the name?
Timbali Crafts.
Thank you, Timbali Crafts. And this is something that I personally, Lori, look for at Christmas time. I look for gifts that I can buy for my family and friends that I can give as a gift, but then my money goes to a nonprofit that I really am giving back. Yeah. And I say that it's the gift that gives twice. So why don't you tell us a little bit about, I know that you are a volunteer with Timbali Crafts. Tell us about the Timbali Crafts and who are the Timbali women?
Okay. Timbali Crafts is a ministry that started back in 2006 in Swaziland, Africa. And it is run by two missionaries. One missionary was there. She was asked to do a Bible study by one of the local pastors who saw a group of older women coming together to cook for the orphans within the community. And she very quickly assessed that they need more than just a Bible study. They were starving. They didn't have any food. They had a lot of physical issues. So she decided to, in some way, as they were serving and helping take care of the orphans in their community, to find a way to help them earn an income. And so she started Timbali Crafts. And they didn't start off sewing beautiful bags. They started off making some gift cards and little items that didn't go too well, but has grown into a ministry that now has 110 ladies that are sewing for Timbali Crafts. Before those ladies can even start to sew, they have been volunteering to care for kids within their community. Swaziland is a country I hadn't even heard of.
Neither did I. When I read it, I thought, I thought that was a pretend land. It sounds pretend, Swaziland.
It is not pretend. It's one of the smallest countries in Africa, and it's one of the ones that has the greatest need. It has the highest HIV AIDS rate in the world. It has the highest TB rate in the world. It has the highest orphan rate in the world. And it has been called a nation of orphans. There's only about 1 million people that live there. Half of them are under the age of 18.
And because they don't have a longevity, their mortality rate is so...
Most of the parents have passed away. AIDS was introduced there in 1987. So in 1987, AIDS is introduced. It's a country that polygamy is practiced. So it spread very quickly and is decimating that country. So the women that are cooking for these kids are grandmom age. They're go-go's. Mm-hmm. That's what they call their grandmoms. And they just saw these kids that are living in child-run homes. You might have a 12-year-old girl who's taking care of all of her younger siblings because both of her parents have passed away. Or maybe one parent has passed away and the other has gone to South Africa to look for employment. Employment in Swaziland is at 40%. Unemployment is at 40%. So it's a pretty desperate situation.
Right. So these children are, I mean, the least of their worries is that they're being robbed of their innocent childhood. But they're growing up very quickly, and they have great needs. And you said that 18 and under are the people who are taking care of these little children.
No, the go-go's are taking care of the children, the grandmoms. Half of the population of the country is 18
That's
and under.
What I was looking for. Okay, half
that's
of the
staggering.
Population is 18 and under, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's not a very good statistic. So we talked a little bit about, when did you start this? When was this started?
It was started in 2006.
Pretty new.
It is very new. I found out about it because my youngest daughter actually went over there on a missions trip with a group called Adventures in Missions and ran into the missionary that runs Timbali and bought two purses, one for her and one for her sister. And she came home, and I said, where's mine? where's my purse? So I went on Timbali Crafts' website and ordered a box of a bunch of purses because I, of course, wanted to pick my own fabric, and there's lots of absolutely beautiful fabrics. And that's how I got started. I went over with them the following year and helped run. They do an annual retreat for the ladies where they take them away for the weekend and give them a bed and three meals a day and spiritual feeding and just fun. Just take them away and just totally bless these ladies. And so I've gone over for the past 3 years and worked with them on that retreat and get to meet these ladies, and just, they are truly heroes in their community. I mean, they, 110 ladies scattered around the country feed, right now it's up to over 3,000 children a day.
Oh my goodness.
So that,
because of the crafts that we're selling here in the States.
Yes, that provides an income
for them. And we
bring
that money back to them.
Yes.
And is this only in Pennsylvania, or this is national, this is international?
It's wherever there's a volunteer who
wants
gets
to
a heart for
have
it.
A house party. Yeah. So let's talk about that a little
okay.
bit. So you mentioned that in 2006, when this was started, their crafts were not as fabulous as they are right now. You started with, I mean, they were still beautiful, I'm sure, but their cards and things like that.
Right.
And now I went on your website and you just have all of these bags. You even have little doll clothes,
oh my
because
goodness.
My girls love, I have three little girls, they love American Girl dolls. And when I saw the American Girl Swaziland doll clothes,
yes.
I thought, wow, they are really doing a great job of just marketing
mm-hmm.
and creating a constant appetite
mm-hmm.
so that these women have crafts that are desirable and then they can support children, 3,000 children
a day. They are beautiful things.
So I'm looking at this bag. It's very colorful, turquoise, greens, browns, reds, a lot of different shapes, a lot of pockets, very functional. Tell us a little bit about the crafts, the products, the quality.
Well, they use beautiful fabrics. The fabrics are all bought at a local market. They're all cotton. They're beautiful craftsmanship. They sew on hand treadle sewing machines. And each of the ladies has a hand treadle sewing machine that the ministry has bought for her. And she pays back a dollar or two a month, according to how much she can. So she will eventually own her own sewing machine, which is a huge thing for these ladies who literally live in houses that are made of mud and sticks and cinder blocks. And they have lots of styles. They have little coin purses. They have little cosmetic bags. They have like travel bags, smaller.
What's this that I'm looking at right here?
Oh,
this
that's
like
a shoulder bag. That
so
is
cute.
That is my favorite purse. It has a nice padded shoulder and a snap closure. And
they're really well made. They're lined.
They are lined.
I bet we can throw these in the wash
yep.
if there's a problem.
Yep.
And I like that on the tag it tells me the woman's name who made this.
It does.
So really, I can even pray for this specific woman if I wanted to.
You could. You could. Each one does come signed with the lady who made it. And on the website is a picture and a bio of each of the ladies. And so it will tell you a little bit about her life. A lot of these women are widowed. They're abandoned by their husbands. They're single moms. They have hard lives. And so the fact that these women are coming out to care for more children, I mean, some of them have 10 kids living in their own home, a 10 by 10 home, and they have 10 children. But yet in their hearts, they still have a burden for other kids in their community. And so, I mean, cooking for these kids is not like we would think, you know, pulling out a big pot and turning on the faucet. They've got to go and gather their wood. They've got to haul the water, which could be a mile or two. Maybe they're hauling a bucket of water on their head. They've got to get out a big cast iron pot, start a fire, and then they cook dried beans and rice. And that meal is the only meal that those children will get that day. And so these women do. They do it 6 days a week. They don't do it on Sunday. But that's it. The children will walk and get that one meal. So these women are sustaining this country in a very powerful way.
And the men, have they been killed in through AIDS or through disease or through warfare?
There's no warfare. Swaziland is all one nation, all one tribe. They're all related, so they don't have any tribal infighting. They are a Christian nation, so they don't have the Muslim-Christian issues like a lot of countries in northern Africa. So it's a very peaceful country. A lot of the men will go to South Africa to look for work.
Okay.
Because there's such unemployment, there's a lot of alcoholism, and there's just there's
broken
polygamy.
Just
polygamy
broken.
Is practiced, so a man could have multiple wives, and if he leaves her,
he's not caring for his other children, right?
No.
So I'm looking at this adorable apron,
oh
a cooking apron.
Yes.
And this looks like it's a mommy and me apron, because this looks like it might be for a little girl.
Yes, that was one of their newer items that they started sewing this year. Little girl aprons, has a cute little pocket on the front and a ruffle across the bottom.
It's so sweet. It's my favorite colors, purple and pink and fuchsia. I love the ruffle at the bottom. These are really well made.
They really are.
Really well made. And tell me, like, about how much would this precious apron be? Because
that
there's not a price on it.
That little girl's apron is $17.
Okay.
And $17 of what you pay goes back to the ministry. The ministry is run by two missionaries.
I like that.
So 100% of the proceeds go back into Timbali. And Timbali offers an income for the ladies. It has a matching fund to encourage them to save. So when they get paid for their bags, they'll have a little envelope that they can decide, you know what, we want to put away part of this money to save, and Timbali will match that 100%. They can use that money to pay for school fees. They can use that money to pay for maybe purchasing some cinder blocks to make a new house. On the website, there's a couple little videos of some of the women and what they've used their money for. And there's one young mom. Her name is Kosi, and she is a sweetheart. And she was sharing how she bought the money that she made from Timbali to buy a water tank for her house because they don't have any plumbing. They have no electricity. So they buy these plastic tanks to hold rainwater that they catch off of their roof. So she bought that first, and then she bought a fence so she could fence in her homestead so that cows couldn't come in and ruin her garden.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these women are buying necessities.
Right, the necessities, the mm-hmm. essentials. So I'm actually going to buy this from you on your way out because I'm thinking about my last-minute Christmas items as Christmas is only a week away, and I am going to buy that because I have three little girls and tons of little nieces. But tell us, besides going to the website and purchasing from the website, can we have home parties or church parties so that we can get all of our women and friends out to actually look at everything that you have?
Absolutely. Timbali does something called hosting your own sale. And so if you go on the website, there's a little form that you can fill out, which is your name and your address. And there's a gal, one of the missionaries that runs it, lives in Georgia. One lives in Swaziland permanently. So the two of these women run it. The gal in Georgia will send you a box of items, and you can choose what you want in that box. You can choose how much you want. If you want $100 worth, $300, $500, she'll send you that box to you free. And you have your home party, you could sell them at work, you could sell them at your church, whatever way you want to. And then within 6 weeks, they just ask that you send back the proceeds that you've earned and whatever items didn't sell. And so it's so
easy.
Simple. It's not, you're not buying them ahead of time. You're just, someone is sending you all their products and you're just representing that ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I mean, to me, not everyone can go there. Mm-hmm. I am so blessed to be able to go there each August and spend time with these ladies. But when I come back, I realize how much prosperity we have in this country. And something simple as buying a beautiful apron or a beautiful bag for yourself or as a gift will truly change a life over in Africa.
Is your shirt from Timbali Craft?
It is not.
It looks like it is. It's very colorful. Maybe they should get into shirts. But of course, this is something that we would like to do around Christmas and the holidays. But, and so people can even start thinking about next Christmas, you know, 2015, if they want to do a Christmas party for Timbali Crafts. But this is really, we can have a house party 12 months out of the year.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
And invite all
the
of our
children
friends.
Eat every day.
Right.
And the women are feeding them every day.
So what is your forward thinking and your future goals? Are we trying to get 111 or 112 women supported in 2015?
There are so many women that want to be part of Timbali Crafts over there because it is a really good income for these ladies and at the same time is caring for the kids within Swaziland. So it's hitting the women and giving them a job spiritually, I mean physically providing for them, but it's also providing for them spiritually. So as we are doing Bible studies with these ladies on a weekly basis, when they come together to get their fabric and cut, they're getting poured into spiritually, and so then they in turn can pour into those children mm-hmm. in the community.
There's the future of Swaziland.
Yes. But Timbali Crafts has a Facebook page, and the gal over there, Julie Anderson, is really good at posting new pictures and little videos on Thursdays. Thursdays is the day that all the ladies come together to cut. So she will post up some pictures on the Facebook page, and you can get to see some of the ladies. And then the website, I think, is wonderful that has all the bios and the videos.
And I did watch some of the videos, and they're really sweet, and they're certainly very short. So I was watching them as I was cooking dinner. Can you tell us what timbali means?
Yes. Timbali is the, Siswati is the language they speak in Swaziland, and timbali means little flower. And they pick that because it's also the word that's translated in Matthew 6 for the lilies of the field. And thinking through how God cares for the lilies of the field, that they don't have to worry. And so saying to that those women that you are little flowers, you are that in God's image, and he will care for you. And he has really come through and has blessed these timbali ladies.
Well, I'll be praying that in 2015 you're able to support even more of these women, and which in turn will be feeding all of these orphans every day, and that maybe, you know, timbali will be the start for revival in that country. Do you partner with any other nonprofits, timbali, in Swaziland? Are there any other craft organizations like this, or any other clean water or orphanages? Or, like there, you said, it's a very small country.
There are other ministries that are over there. Timbali, the two gals that are running it are Missionaries with Adventures in Missions, which is the one organization that's doing a lot of the CarePoint ministry, Ventures and Missions and Children's Hope Chest. And so they're providing the food that is being distributed to the CarePoints. The women are volunteering their time, and timbali is coming to help them earn an income for their families.
Okay. And I saw in your pictures there's sewing machines. Obviously, you provide the sewing machines mm-hmm. for them and the needles and okay,
yep.
the threads and everything that they need.
Yes.
Well, they are a group of really talented women, and I guess that when survival is the motivation, you get very creative. And
yeah, they are strong women. I mean, they really inspire me. I mean, I go over there and you see these women who have nothing, and they live with nothing, but yet they have a smile on their face, mm-hmm. and their faith is. It really humbles me, because I think I have faith, but I can open my refrigerator and have food, and I can go in my basement and have, you know, months worth of food. And these women, literally, they will have nothing, and they will be praying. And when we're over there, we will go visit different people in their homes. And as you walk up to a home, you walk up singing, and we always take a gift of a food basket. And you just see the tears streaming down their face going, we were just praying because we just cooked the last amount of rice or the last amount of cornmeal we have. And it's an experience that just totally blesses me, which is why I keep going back.
And I think that's just so lovely, the way that God works, that we think that we're blessing the women in timbali, but in reality, it's awesome that we're getting that kickback. We're mm-hmm. getting that blessing as well. So it has really changed you
well. There's one woman, and she's sweet. Her name is Grace, and she's about 76 years old. And she was married with 5 children, and she lost her husband, and she lost 4 of her 5 children. And everything in Swaziland is very male-oriented. The land passes from the man to his sons. And so she went to live with her last son, and he passed away, and the daughter-in-law decided to sell the land. So Grace was homeless. She's 76. She's sort of stooped over. She doesn't know very much English, and I met her for the first time when I went over 4 years ago, and she knew 2 phrases. She knew hallelujah, and she knew praise the Lord. And I thought, here is this woman who hasn't had a home for 5 years. So every night she's spending in the home of a friend or finding somewhere, you know, to stay for the night, and timbali had petitioned the local chief who distributes the land, can we find a piece of land for Grace? And usually when you're buying a piece of land, you have to give a cow, or I don't know how many cows it is, but currency is often cows or goats there. And obviously she had nothing. She was so destitute with absolutely nothing. He agreed he would take a Coke in order to give Grace this piece of land. So she, through the ministry, got the piece of land and was able to earn enough money to build a small home for herself. And there was a video, I don't know if it's still on the website, of she had an outhouse, and Julie Anderson, the missionary, wanted to take her a toilet seat cover. I mean, it's a plastic toilet seat cover. And here's a picture of little Grace doing this hallelujah dance in the middle of the street, you know, the little dirt road, but just praising the Lord for something so simple that we take for granted. And so these These women really do inspire me with their faith.
It's very, very humbling. Even as I'm sitting here and you're telling all these stories, it's just very humbling that they're so thankful and content with a plastic toilet seat that we take for granted.
Yes, or the used clothing that we take over.
Right, right. Yes. So I want to encourage everyone to check out Timbali's website, which is timbalicrafts.org, and sign up to have a party. I think it's a fun way, girls' night out, right?
It's a very fun girls' night out.
Yeah,
and the
to
fact
connect.
That it's so personal to see their pictures and know a little bit about them.
Yes. So thank you so much for joining us, Lori Zarishna.
Yes.
God bless you.
Thank you.
This is Carla Dedesi with Your Family Matters here at 1180 WFYL, and we have Dick McMillan in the studio with us today from Sunday Breakfast Mission, which sits in the heart of Center City, Philadelphia. You are the executive director. Thank you for being here with us this morning.
It's a pleasure.
Are we cold down there? We're 1 week away from Christmas. How's the mission look this week?
There's a lot of things happening. Certainly, we're getting all prepared for that time, but there is so much happening every day because we can house up to 250 individuals with us. So that brings with it quite a bit right there.
And do you decorate for Christmas at the shelter?
We do. Have a number of things up already, and as well as a tree and try to have some of the festivity, although it's certainly not like home.
Right. But at least it's a little bit of a reminder of home if you're able to have some Christmas decorations around. Who does that for you? Do churches come down and decorate, or you do that with the men there?
We have a number of volunteers that get involved. The men certainly participate as well, but it's a lot of volunteers, and we can always use more volunteers.
Okay, good. And we can go to sundaybreakfast.org to volunteer. Tell me about the thrift shops, because I love thrift shopping at Christmas time. I think it's a great place to purchase Christmas gifts, little teapots, little dishes, things that are out of the ordinary, even old books.
Mm-hmm. We have two thrift stores. One's called the Beehive, which is in Northeast Philadelphia, about Rising Sun and Cottman. And we have another one in Bucks County in Pendel. And it's amazing the things you can find there at different times. I've found a number of very good items that I've given as gifts, and I think an awful lot of our home is decorated in thrift store items. So
you can find really wonderful pictures, even like really sweet farm scenes or things that you can't buy anymore because they were sitting in somebody's house for 90 years before they donated it to the Beehive.
Absolutely. You can find some very unique things, and you can also get a lot of ideas. We've been taking a number of items and repurposing them and putting pictures alongside to show what this item used to look like and with just a little bit of work what it really has the potential of being, and you can find some great items that have just fantastic potential.
And I also think that if there are some families out there that still need to decorate, thrift stores like the Beehive are great places where you can buy Christmas decorations as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and find them at fantastic prices. But, our thrift stores serve another purpose, too. As well as offering goods at a low cost, we're able to help families that are in need through our thrift stores, too. We have a caseworker that will take some initial information, and we're able to give clothing to families that are in need. We're also able to give furniture to families that are in need. We've helped a number of people get into apartments where they have left a shelter or left homelessness, and we've been able to help them have what they really needed to get set up on their own. So it's a dual purpose that goes on there. So we appreciate not only customers shopping in our stores, but the donations, furniture, clothing, and other things that someone might want to give.
Mm-hmm. It's a great way to spend our money wisely, I think. Tell us a little bit about what are you doing on Christmas or Christmas Eve for the men. Do you have a service for them? Do you serve meals?
There's definitely a service. We have a service every evening, but there will be a little bit more special on Christmas Eve. We will also be giving out some gifts at that time. Normally, our tradition is to do it both on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day with some of the different groups of people that we have coming in. And try to make Christmas special for them in some different ways. The gifts are nothing lavish. They're very basic items that some of the people need. It may be new underwear or socks or hats or gloves, any of those number of things. I had one man that I was talking to one Christmas and asked him, what's the best gift you've received? And he looked at me and he says, this new underwear. And I chuckled a little bit and he says, no, I mean it. He says, I've had a pretty tough for the past several years and you won't believe it, but this really made me feel loved. And for him, it was a very special gift, and it's something that is not that hard for each of us to do. That's one of the ways that some of your listeners could get involved is to while they're out shopping, to pick up some extra underwear or hats or mittens or gloves and some of those things that we would be able to give as gifts to some of the people staying with us.
What's so interesting is that you're igniting a memory in my mind. Hope Rescue Mission is my mission out in the Reading area.
Mm-hmm.
And the executive director out there said that the men would really like socks and underwear as Christmas gifts. So I went with my little girls and we went to the JCPenney's outlet and bought up all different sizes and colors of underwear and socks. And when I dropped them off to the men, it was an evening. It was two men were working in the office. I don't know whether you do the same thing at Sunday Rescue.
We do.
Where you have the men who are very responsible who are in the front office there. And when I said that I was bringing them underwear and socks, the first thing that they said, they pulled out the packages and they said, these aren't used. They're brand new. And it was so humbling for me. And it was such a great experience for my three little girls to just think about, well, of course it's new. You normally wear used or old underwear, but I started thinking maybe, you know, they go to thrift stores and they buy old underwear. So it was such a blessing for them to have their very own brand new underwear.
Absolutely.
So at Christmas time, as we're thinking about so much that many of us have above and beyond our needs, I think it's just a really important time to stop with our families and with our children and go and give back to places like Sunday Breakfast Mission.
I think that's such a great point, too, of along with our children or with our families getting involved. Quite honestly, we have all of the volunteers lined up that we need on Christmas Day, but we're there 365 days a year. We're serving 3 meals a day, 7 days a week, and we need volunteers on those other days. And it would be great if somebody, you know, hurry up and came in. And then with your Christmas at or with your family at Christmas, you can talk about the experience you had, or you can talk about how in a couple weeks maybe you're going down to Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission and helping to serve meals. But doing that with our families. We had one family that came in, and the father told me about the situation with his daughter, and she was dragging her feet and hemming and hawing about going down to the mission and being part of that. But she participated and helped to serve the meal that day. And he said it was so funny. When we were going out to the car afterwards, it was that daughter that was saying, Dad, when can we come back and do this again? And the transition that took place for her. And being able to see somebody that doesn't have quite as much as we have leaves an impact.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen that take place in a number of different ways. We had a young man that just came to the realization that some people don't have as much food as he has. And he started doing a food drive at his school and collected quite an amount for us and then brought it into the mission. You know, that's another way people can get involved. If they can't even come to our facility in Center City, Philadelphia, or our facility in Germantown to help, they can run a food drive in their church or their office or their social group, whatever it may be, that can really help.
So I hear you urging our listeners to celebrate Christmas 365 days a year.
Absolutely.
At Sunday Breakfast Mission. And, you know, I have the privilege of knowing you, and you know my family.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that we've had a legacy helping down at Sunday Breakfast Mission, but certainly I am a product of one of those little children whose parents was dragging them down to Sunday Breakfast Mission back in the 70s and the 80s. And indeed, I'm not proud, and now it acts as a funny story, but my dad had me playing What a Friend We Have in Jesus every Thursday evening for the men down there. I only knew two hymns, Dick. I knew What a Friend We Had in Jesus and Trust and Obey. If they asked for something else, I just would play those two hymns. And I disliked it so immensely. However, seeds were being planted. And now, at the age of 43, what do I find myself doing but taking my family down to our local homeless shelter? So I hear what you're saying, and I do want to encourage our family to plant those seeds. Even if the children go kicking and screaming down, it's the right thing to do. And we're going to be creating future generations who are going to be helping you at the Sunday Breakfast Mission.
Absolutely. Your dad has shared some of those stories with me, so I'm well aware of them. But you make an excellent point there. And to realize something that we think is so insignificant, the impact that it can really have. I have talked to a number of individuals over the years. I've had the privilege of being involved in rescue mission work for about 45 years now. And over the years, I've talked to different people who, either as a child, as a teenager, got involved in some small way, and the overall impact that it left on them to care about others. So it is such a small investment, but such an important one that we can make.
A small investment and then a priceless payout,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
Are you doing anything for the men New Year's Eve, the first of the year, or do you lay low, lay quiet?
We settle down a little bit and are quieter. There's a number of sports events that we're making available to the fellas so that they can take those in. We have a projection system that we project on the wall, and there'll be a lot of discussion about some of the games that are being played.
That's wonderful, because I think that it's important. Sometimes we look at these men as they don't have any interests. You know, they've fallen on hard times, but really that's all that they are. They're men that have fallen on hard times. They still have a lot of interests. They may enjoy classical music, football games, running. Do you still have your running club at the Sunday Breakfast Mission? Are the men still running at 6 o'clock in the morning?
We do not at this point. That's not a part of it. But each individual has their own story, and it is so interesting that sometimes the volunteers who have been willing to spend a little time and talk with some of the individuals and find out what has been going on, there are such a contrast of stories. And it's, there's a higher percentage of those who have not gotten a high school education, but over the years I've seen individuals that have had mechanical engineering degrees, have had law degrees, people that you would never expect. We had a physician at one point who went down the wrong road, started writing himself prescriptions, and ended up homeless. But to hear some of those stories and realize that but for the grace of God, I could be in that situation in a lot of circumstances. Look back at my own life, and I actually grew up in subsidized housing and projects and running with the kids in the neighborhood and learning to play poker, and my dad and brother were both alcoholics. And as I look back at that history, if it wasn't for the grace of Jesus Christ and his love, it seems like I would fit in more as a resident of a rescue mission than as an executive director of one. So it's important to realize what's taking place and the change that Christ can make in lives. I had the privilege just recently of signing a check that was the first month's rent for an apartment for a fella that had come into us, had a horrendous life, had gotten out of prison, and was having a terrible time trying to find a job, and we were able to help him work on his different problems, assisted him in finding employment, and then he found a place to live and was moving out on his own. And the change that had taken place was based on seeing that Christ had a different way for him to live and applying those principles that we can find in Scripture.
And what a fabulous opportunity at a men's shelter, if we can look at the positive sides, where you do have other men coming around you who are Christians and can point you in the right direction? Because I would imagine, perhaps, that the majority of the men staying at the shelter did not have a father figure, or perhaps it wasn't a good father figure, modeling proper habits to them.
That's very true, and so important for those individuals to see a chaplain that helps to illustrate what real love is, and to be working with the individual.
And just to come next to them as an accountability. Let's talk about, do you still have your Tuesday evening medical clinic happening where you're partnering with Jefferson? Weren't you doing that for a while?
We definitely do. That's an ongoing program, and just provide such a tremendous asset while we're looking after some of the spiritual side. They're looking after other aspects of the physical side. And Jefferson has been such a blessing to us and the residents there in providing that for the men. We also have another clinic that is every other Thursday evening that's a foot clinic. We have some nurses that come in and provide this clinic and sometimes wash the fellows' feet and treat them royally. Of course, the feet are an indication of other things with a person that might have diabetes or high blood pressure, and they'll check the blood pressure and all of those kinds of things. So the fellows very much feel loved and will open up sometimes and start to talk about things in their lives because somebody's really showing care and concern for them. And that's so important for all of us. There are so many people out in the world that we're running around so busy that people need to take the time and just show an honest care, concern, listening for where an individual is. And it's amazing what can begin to happen.
Do you still have the University of Penn students coming down and serving meals through Aramark on Mondays or Tuesday evenings?
We do have some of them as regular volunteers. We have a number of people from SEPTA, employees there that are regular volunteers. Any number of other organizations. We've had Temple basketball team. We've had Karen University, some of their teams down serving. So there's plenty of opportunities for groups like that to come in with the three meals a day that we serve.
So let's talk a little bit about how we can get in touch with you if we want to come down and serve a meal, or if we have, I mean, what would you think about if somebody called you and said, we own a beauty business and we'd like to come down and give free haircuts to all of the men one Saturday a month. Mm-hmm. I bet they would love that, Dick.
We would love to work out all of the details of that. There are several ways to get involved with us. You can fill out an application or give us contact information on our website, which is sundaybreakfast.org. You can just give us a call at 215-922-6400. Either of those are great ways to make contact.
And let's make sure, because I make this mistake, that it is sundaybreakfast.org. And it is the mission that sits in the heart of Center City, Philadelphia.
Yes.
It's because there are other ones that have similar names that are in Delaware or different places. And mm-hmm. we want to make sure that we're tapping into Philly here because that's our community and our backyard. And as I'm looking at your website, I see that Mayor Nutter even is aware that you are all doing a wonderful work right there for his...
He has come in and served, was very happy to be a part of when we opened our new dining room. We have taken an active part in some of the food access committees that the mayor has established. And right now, Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission is the largest indoor feeder of the homeless in Center City, Philadelphia. And we're serving between 500 and 600 meals a day. So we have people coming in from the streets as well as those people that are in residence with us.
And we've had Sunday Breakfast Mission there for about 200 years, or is it not 200 years?
Not quite that.
Okay.
That long. It's since 1878.
Okay.
So that's about 136, around about that.
Uh-huh.
And at the current location, we've been there since 1973, but we have been in continuous operation since 1878 when... sometimes people are curious, where do you get the name? Do you only serve Sunday breakfast? And what happened in 1878 was four businessmen got together and decided before they went to church on Sunday morning that they would start serving breakfast to individuals out on the street and then have a chapel service afterwards. And thus the name Sunday Breakfast came about. They formed the Sunday Breakfast Association, and years later it became Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission. But
and was John Wanamaker one of those?
He was.
It was business people.
Outstanding people from the community. John Wanamaker of Wanamaker Department Stores, Atlee Burpee of Burpee Seeds, a major seed corporation. John Stetson of Stetson Hats was another one. And the lesser known fellow was a fellow by the name of James Pollock. But he was head of the Philadelphia Mint at the time and a former governor of Pennsylvania. So four outstanding businessmen who had a concern for people that were out on the streets.
And they've left, what a legacy.
Absolutely.
I think they would be really proud if they were able to come back and walk into our beautiful homeless shelter at 17th and Vine. So thank you so much for joining us today, Dick McMillan from Sunday Breakfast Mission at 17th and Vine Street.
13th and Vine.
I'm sorry, I keep saying
okay.
The wrong address. 13th and Vine. Now you can all remember that. 13th and Vine. And please give him a call or fill out the volunteer information at sundaybreakfast.org. Have a Merry Christmas.
You too, and your family.
This is Your Family Matters with Carla Tedeschi here at 1180 WFYL. Merry, Merry Christmas. We've been talking to so many wonderful people from great nonprofits, CEOs, and volunteers who are doing so much to remember those people who have so little during Christmas. So we have Tony Washington with us from Operation Christmas Child. Thank you for being here with us.
Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. So tell me, how did you get involved with Operation Christmas Child?
Yeah, so I have been a volunteer for the last 5 years. I got started through my church. One night there were openings to help receive boxes from surrounding churches, and I heard about this Operation Christmas Child, and since that time 5 years ago, I have been highly engaged because I just love the initiative and the ministry.
This is something that we do at our church as well, and I think it's so wonderful to incorporate my little girls, right, Tony? It's something that the children, we can go to the dollar store and we can look at our list. Tell us about some things that we put into these boxes.
Yeah, so the cool thing about Operation Christmas Child is their whole motto is that it's a simple gift for so many reasons, but anything can go in a box. So you can put anything from toys, which the kids love to put in there, but, you know, kids also love crayons and books and coloring books and T-shirts and light-up doll babies and all kinds of things can go in there. I had the privilege to go to Zambia last year and give out shoeboxes, and it was amazing to me that some of the kids even loved the toiletries that were put in the boxes, from the deodorant to the soap and the toothpaste. So no gift is too small.
And tell us about which countries are we sending these boxes through Samaritan's Purse?
Yeah, so boxes go to over 100 different countries. United States, Canada, and Australia are the distributing countries that put the boxes together, but there are over 100 different countries that the shoe boxes will go to. So your boxes could go to Africa, they could go to the Ukraine, they could go to anywhere in Asia even.
Okay, and for our listeners, again, we are sending boxes that are going primarily to children, right?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, and underprivileged countries. And when did this start, this program?
Yeah, so Operation Christmas Child was started in 1993. Since that time, there have been over 110 million shoeboxes given out to children.
That is so radical and so epic. And I believe it only costs $7 plus whatever it costs to put our items in that box?
Yeah, the $7 donation goes towards shipping, which is a deal. It takes quite a bit, if you could imagine, to get these shoe boxes to the different countries from United States, maybe all the way across the other side of the world. So for $7, it's a very small fee for such a huge gift.
So if we decide to do this at our church, in 2015, Christmas 2015, looking ahead. I always hate to think, like, wish away the whole year. But we would get in touch with you all and start this process. I believe we start collecting these items. Is it in October or November?
Yeah, so if you're like me, I am collecting items all year round because I love the ministry, and I just hold on to them until that time. So you're absolutely right. The third week of November is the National Collection Week, where all the shoeboxes are starting to come in to the various different churches, yours included, mine included as well. But you can collect items during your shopping throughout the year, just things that you think a child would like, that you see catches your eye and put it to the side. And when November comes around in 2015, you'll be all prepared to pack your box.
And then you bring that box to your church or wherever that pickup place is.
Yes.
And then they ship them all out, and then do our kids, the recipients, do they get them in the month of December? Are we able to get them there by Christmas?
So some of the boxes will get there for Christmas, but because of the number of boxes that we're collecting each year, which is somewhere around 10 million shoeboxes per year, it could take quite a bit to get the shoeboxes there.
Sure.
So boxes could get there even in the summertime.
Okay, but
yeah.
Still, what a gift, though. So if we go to SamaritansPurse.org, would we be able to see some of the recipients of these gifts? I mean, do you have any stories about the kids that are getting these boxes?
Yeah. So if you go to SamaritansPurse.org, there is a section on the website called Spiritual Impact Stories, and there you'll see a full list of all of the testimonies of children and even pastors in these receiving countries who have just been impacted by the simple gifts that folks are putting together around the world. Some of the stories that I've heard are just amazing. Through Samaritan's Purse and Operation Christmas Child, children get the opportunity to hear about Christ sometimes for the very first time.
Awesome.
In their lives. And when that happens, they accept Jesus into their hearts, and they become saved and baptized, we're hearing, in a lot of these cases, just through a simple shoebox. So stories like that we hear over and over again from so many different people in these other countries.
And that's so exciting, because here at Your Family Matters, we are all about planting seeds in the future generations.
Yeah.
So if we are able to give these precious shoeboxes to these future leaders of countries, right? Their future
mm-hmm.
mommies and daddies, their future,
yeah.
I mean, we pray that their future, they have the opportunity to be future teachers and future nurses in these countries. And how marvelous if they also were Christian leaders, because when they were 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, they made a commitment to Jesus Christ because of this little box. And it's also a great ministry because not all of us here in the States, where we're so ridiculously wealthy and comfortable, you know, feel led to go over to these countries, but we can send a shoebox and still play a role, right, Tony?
Absolutely. And, you know, some of us, you know, don't even have the resources to afford to be able to go over to these other countries. But the one thing that we do have is love in our hearts, and we can pray.
Yes.
And you can put these shoeboxes together, to your point, at a very minimal cost, and then pray over the boxes. And I promise you that that one simple gift will have an impact on a child somewhere in another country.
And do you follow up with any of these kids after you give them the boxes?
I have not, but you can. So we hear many testimonies of people who put their address or email address in their shoebox, and they are so surprised that they hear from the children that receive their boxes, and sometimes carry on relationships with them for years and years to come. So if any of your listeners feel, you know, that they have the heart to do that and they want to do that, we absolutely suggest that you do, and you'd be surprised the number of children who may respond back to you and tell you thank you.
Tony, thank you so much for spending some time with us this morning and sharing all that you're doing with Operation Christmas Child through Samaritan's Purse. And I want to encourage all of our families and listeners to go to SamaritansPurse.org and sign up to do this next year. And I wish you a very Merry Christmas.
Thank you. You too. Thanks so much for having me.
Take care. God bless.
God bless. Thank you.
This is Carla DeDessi with Your Family Matters, 1180 WFYL.